How's that? That's a little better. Yeah, okay. Thank you, Father, for our opportunity to share in your word, which you've given to us, to encourage us, to keep us safe from the enemy, to keep us walking with you, enjoying your presence. May it be so because of what we do today. In Jesus I pray. Amen. Be angry and sin not. Tell me some things that instill anger in you, or that have instilled anger in you just the past couple, 3 weeks that you recall. What makes you angry?
War.
War. All right?
Drivers.
Yes. All right.
Government.
Well, that's a broad category. Drivers. Drivers used to make me angry. But then I discovered that enemy drivers should be afforded the privilege of all our enemies in Christ of being forgiven, giving God thanks for them, praying for them, loving them, doing good to them. It's a habit. Forgive, give thanks, and pray for. Do you ever think that a driver that's inclined to make you angry is somebody that God is pointing out to you by allowing Satan to inspire that person to drive the way they drive? God's pointing them out to you so that you are inspired to pray for them. It helps a lot. Well, we're going to come back to the issue of anger. But let's start with Ephesians chapter 5, which everybody have a copy? I tend to print. I remember years ago, everybody used the King James Version. And at big show of hand, how many people brought your Bibles today? And everybody holds up their Bibles. Now everybody holds up their cell phone. And I remember being in church and the New American Standard came into publication in the early 70s. And a lot of churches started using the New American Standard. And I loved the King James Version. I loved the poetic form. I loved the literalness of the King James Version. And I continued to use it for some time. But I got so tired of translating what's being said at the pulpit into what I've got in front of me, and I finally gave in and started using the New American Standard Bible, which is a very, very good translation. It's probably, for precision, it's probably the best translation into English. So anyway, I use the New American Standard now, and from that experience of the struggle with trying to look at what I've got in front of me and compared with what's being read, I started doing this. At least you can follow along with me, and it makes it a little easier, I hope. Fill your tank. Be careful how you walk, not as unwise men, but as wise, making the most of your time, because the days are evil. So then, do not be foolish, but understand what the will of the Lord is. And do not get drunk with wine, for that is dissipation. It's wasteful. It's wasting time. But be filled with the Spirit. Paul didn't go on to explain, how do you do that? It's missing. How do you be filled with the Holy Spirit? You pull up to a gas station to fill up your tank. It takes a certain amount of time and effort, doesn't it? And if you want to be filled with the Spirit, can you do that like this, or does it take time? Well, yes and yes. But usually it takes time. And if in the morning you want to be obedient and be filled with the Spirit, it's going to take some time. How much time? That's up to you before God to decide. For me, it's a minimum of 20 minutes. And I really like spending an hour because I experience a more vivid presence of the Spirit in my life when I give Him an hour in the morning. An hour of praise, maybe an hour of just waiting on Him, trusting that He's doing things in me. That's me. What works for you? I suggest you try it and see if you haven't. See how much time it takes for you to sense that, okay, now I'm ready to go. I'm ready to walk with the Lord this day. I'm ready to walk in the Spirit. Be filled with the Spirit. And now he tells us what being filled with the Spirit will look like. It's reasonable to think that every virtue in the New Testament is a manifestation of being filled with the Spirit. So as you go through the Bible and you discover, well, I should be like this and I should be like that and I should do this and I should do that and I should avoid doing this other thing, those are road signs to plant in my mind to wake me up when I've diverted from the path the Spirit wants to direct me. Speaking to one another in psalms, hymns, spiritual songs, singing and making melody with your heart to the Lord. Always giving thanks for all things, for all drivers, for the government, for whatever it is that rubs you the wrong way. We give God thanks because we know He's on His throne, He's in control, and He is directing the affairs of history and any of the little things that are involved in my life as well to an end. And in me, it's to make me like the Lord Jesus. And in you, as a saint, it is to complete the presence and the power of the Lord Jesus in you. So that's a reason to give thanks if we want to be like Jesus, isn't it? In and for all things. It's a reasoned behavior. It's not just, well, this really sucks. Thank you, God, anyway. I know I'm supposed to do that, but this really sucks. And it might really suck. But still, we have a reason to give thanks because God is on His throne and He's doing good things in us, through us, and even through the wicked people that we encounter every day. I have a friend that I used to be in business with, and I remember going out one day with him, and we had a lousy business day. But as we went, we sang songs, we sang praises, we prayed, we gave thanks to God, and we got home after that day, and his wife asked us, well, how'd it go today? And I said, well, business-wise, it didn't go well at all, but we're filled with the Spirit. And we were praising the Lord and being joyful. That was great. And it was a gloomy day. It was cloudy. It wasn't a great day, but we had a lovely time. worshiping the Lord together as we went about our business. The very next day, we went out again, and business was better. And it was a sunny day. And we got home afterwards, and his wife said, "Well, how'd it go today?" And we agreed, it just was kind of gloomy today. And as we thought about it, suddenly one of us said, "We forgot to praise. We forgot to give God thanks. We forgot to sing." And that was the difference. The joy of the Lord is filled with his praises. Singing and making melody in your heart to the Lord. Now let's go to Galatians. Galatians 5:16, but I say, walk by the Spirit, and you will not carry out the desire of the flesh. Walk by the Spirit. Be filled with the Spirit. This is something to take into conscious thinking. We can say, God filled me with your Spirit, but this is a moment-by-moment thing. Guide me, Lord. Empower me to do your will. But I say, walk by the Spirit, and you will not carry out the desire of the flesh. Okay? For the flesh sets its desire against the Spirit, and the Spirit against the flesh. For these are in opposition to one another, so that you may not do the things that you please. But if you are led by the Spirit, you are not under the law. Now, the deeds of the flesh, the things that Satan wants us to do, include immorality, impurity, sensuality, idolatry, sorcery, enmities, strife, jealousy. And you can go through all that and think, well, I'm pretty clean. And then it says outbursts of anger. It doesn't say anger is of the flesh necessarily, because elsewhere it says, be angry and do not sin. Do not let the sun go down on your anger. But anger that results in an outburst is put in a list with all this other wicked stuff that you wouldn't even consider. But many Christians allow themselves the liberty to have outbursts of anger. An outburst of anger can be an eruption internally. And it runs contrary to the truth of Holy Scripture that the things that God allows that we don't like are things that he intends for eternal good. The deeds of the flesh are evident, including outbursts of anger, disputes, dissensions, factions, envying, drunkenness, carousing, and things like these, of which I forewarn you, just as I have forewarned you, that those who practice such things will not inherit the kingdom of God. And then we get to the antithesis of all this, which is beginning with verse 22, the fruit of the Spirit is, so fill your tank, you'll have the fruit of the Spirit. By the way, the fruit of the Spirit, you notice I made is really large. That's because I discovered this over 50 years ago when I was teaching Galatians, that the fruit of the Spirit is, it's not the fruits of the Spirit are. It's the fruit of the Spirit is. Now, I wouldn't say a car are wheels and tires and an engine and a steering wheel, would I? The fruit of the Spirit is singular. If the Spirit is directing me, all of the aspects of the singular fruit of the Spirit will be present. Now, I can think I'm doing pretty well. But if you want to check yourself whether the Spirit of God is filling you and expressing Himself fully through you, stop at two of the aspects of the fruit of the Spirit: joy and peace. And if you're honest with yourself, you either will or will not have joy and peace as ruling factors in your life. Other aspects of the fruit of the Spirit, we can pretend. We can pretend that we are patient, and maybe we can even discipline ourselves to act patiently. We can be kind, at least at times. We can be kind to others. We can even be kind to wicked people. We can learn that goodness is a good thing, and so try to be really good. Be faithful to God. Show up at church every Sunday. Don't forsake the assembly. Gentleness. Gentleness, if you think about it, you can act gently instead of in a crass or a confrontive way. But you can't imitate joy and peace. You can pretend you have joy and peace. You can say you have joy and peace, but you know in yourself whether your life is characterized by the joy of the Lord and the peace that passes understanding. Be filled with the Spirit. Fill your tank. How much time does it take? If you haven't discovered that, you should really give it a shot. I found out one time that 4 hours was a good amount of time to give to God to fill me with His Spirit. On a regular basis, I really like an hour. And for me personally, 20 minutes is a minimum to feel like I'm in alignment with what God wants to do in me and through me. The fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. Self-control is one that you might be able to imitate, but each of us knows if we are not self-controlled in areas where we ought to be self-controlled. Against such things there is no law. And that phrase ties into the whole of the book of Galatians that has a theme of our liberty in Christ. I have considered my liberty in Christ, and I've considered all the dictates of the New Testament, mostly the New Testament. I go, dude, doing all that in the flesh is way harder than obeying the dictates of the Mosaic Law. That's because we can't do it in the flesh. We've got to do it in the Spirit. And the Spirit of God has to fill us, control us, and we have to give Him the time to fill us. Redeeming the time. Redeeming the time. Because the days are evil. That means don't waste time on stuff that isn't useful. That isn't useful for God's kingdom. We need relaxation. We need time to rest. There are a lot of things that we do that aren't directly connected to expanding God's kingdom. But we need to use our time wisely and be cognizant of the fact that God is concerned with how we use our time. So how do you use your time? You know, it's very common for men in particular to go to church on Sunday, if they do, but their real enthusiasm and their real excitement is, when's the game going to start? If Jesus isn't more exciting to you than some form of entertainment, we're not using our time wisely, are we? So I encourage you, use your time wisely. Be filled with the Spirit. Take the time to give God the time to fill your tank. And you'll be blessed, and you will find that you are better able to bless others. And that's exciting. It really is. It's exciting to know that God is using you to bless and encourage others in their faith and to reach others for the kingdom who haven't met Jesus yet personally. I remember hitchhiking isn't much of a thing now. People that hitchhike are, you go, But hitchhiking in the 60s and 70s was a pretty common thing. And I remember traveling with my thumb out when I had a car, just so I'd have an opportunity to share Jesus with a person who ever picked me up. What can you do to connect you with people who might be willing to listen, who might be ready to receive Jesus as their Savior? I encourage you to think about that. As you walk in the Spirit and as you're filled with the Spirit, He will give you opportunities. Look for those opportunities. He wants you. I remember driving home one day and I was in Bible school and I had my books in the seat in the middle of the seat and I picked up a hitchhiker and he said something like, "You in school?" And I said, "Yeah, I go to Bible school." I said something like, "Would you like to know how to become a Christian?" And he said, "Yeah, I would." You never know. Be ready always to give an answer for the hope that lies within you. You can do this. The Christian life is an exciting adventure. And when you open your eyes to that which God wants to do in you and through you, and take time to be filled with the Spirit each day, you will find your opportunities will expand greatly. And you will be able to boldly speak the joy and the peace that God gives you. And people see it in you. And some people may ask you, "Why are you so patient? How do you put up with that?" And Jesus is the answer. And then don't miss the opportunity. When you say Jesus is the answer, do you know Jesus? Would you like to know Jesus? Walk in the Spirit. Do not fulfill the deeds of the flesh. And God will empower you to be used of Him to bless the world around you. And it's an exciting adventure. It really is. Father, in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, I pray that you will fill each one here with your Spirit. Encourage them to take the opportunity to be filled with the Spirit, to take the time, to not allow the tyranny of urgent things to keep any of us from the time we need to spend with you. Fill us, empower us, make us useful for your kingdom. And may we glorify you in the way that we live and bless those around us. with the presence of Jesus. May that be so in Jesus' name. Well, I was here last November 3rd, so this is almost the anniversary of my first time to share God's word with you, and thank you for the privilege, thank you for the joy of sharing Jesus with you. All right. What would you like me to do for the commencement of the, just, okay, all right. Do we have, who will distribute the elements? Bob? Okay. Father, in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, we celebrate Jesus' death, burial, and resurrection. And by taking of these elements which represent his body and his blood becoming a part of us, we recognize that that is what you're doing when you fill us with your spirit. You are taking Jesus and living him through us. Thank you, Father, for the body and the blood of Jesus, for without the shedding of blood, sin doesn't go away. Thank you, Lord Jesus, for taking our sin and giving us new life. In Jesus' name, amen. It's quiet right now. It reminds me of the way sanctuaries were when I was a boy. You walk into a church sanctuary, and if you spoke, you whispered. You tried not to disturb others who might have come early to get focused and get centered in their relationship with the Father. I miss that. It's not common anymore. In the night in which Jesus was betrayed, he broke bread and shared it with the apostles. And he said, "This is my body which is broken for you. Whenever you do this, remember me." Thank you, Father. You've given us Jesus. We've received him, and we have new life. Amen. And Jesus went on to say, this is the new covenant, the new contract with God in my blood. He shed his blood for us that we might experience the life that he had and he expressed. Thank you, Father, for Jesus' blood shed for us. And Father, for this time to share together, we give you thanks. Fill us with your Spirit. Empower us to walk in your Spirit, speaking to one another in psalms and hymns, spiritual songs, being ready always to give an answer for the hope that lies within us. Thank you, Father, in Jesus' name. Another announcement?
No, just we can close with a song.
Okay.
And then you can close with some prayer. We can do a final song and then you can close with some prayer.
Okay. We could do it that way. Whichever song you'd like. Mm-hmm.